It's Tuesday and time to read from your comments. Last week, we discussed ethnic mapping and the deepening controversy over New York Police Department efforts to monitor and map Muslim communities. Paul Kennedy from Houston, Texas, expressed what we heard from many of you. He wrote, "Ethnic mapping is intrusive and violates the rights of the citizenry to be free from government interference. There is no justification for what the NYPD is doing. These folks did nothing wrong. The presumption by law enforcement is that these folks are guilty of something unless proven otherwise." He continued, "Timothy McVeigh was a white Christian. Did the police map out where white Christians ate, drank, prayed, and slept?" And when we talked about the increase in divorce among older couples, a number of you echoed Linda, who didn't tell us where she was writing from. She said, "I'm in my early 60s. I understand that a number of folks my age are divorcing to avoid losing everything when one spouse or another gets a huge medical bill. I jokingly tell my friends, if you read my name in the paper as divorced, it isn't because my husband and I don't love one another. It's because medical costs have become impossible to meet." After the recent controversy over birth control, health coverage, and the Catholic Church, writer Soraya Shimali wrote that she had left the Catholic Church because of its treatment of women, and she suggested that other women do the same. Anna Mary King emailed this response from Lebanon, Illinois. "I am a practicing Catholic who, like your guest, strongly disagrees with the patriarchal hierarchy of the church, but unlike your guest, I am making a conscious decision to work to change from within the church. To me, the church is my little community of like-minded believers with whom I worship every week, not the council of men who run the church from their palaces thousands of miles away from here. They are out of touch, literally and figuratively. I love being Catholic, and I am not leaving my church because of a disagreement over ideology that is, for the most part, man-made." Our discussion about Ugandan rebel leader Joseph Kony, who's the subject of a video released last week, which has now been viewed by tens of millions of people worldwide, brought this email from Lynn Borgeson in Minnesota. She wrote, "When I was in Uganda and South Sudan 2 years ago with about 20 other pastors, we learned of Joseph Kony and saw some of the devastation he left in his wake. He and his band of soldiers had been burning down entire villages. They raped, tortured, and slaughtered people indiscriminately and abducted young boys to serve in his personal militia. Terror, fear, and evil hung heavy in the air, and the refugees around us were nervous and terrified. The 30-minute video being shown on the internet does not begin to tell the heinous story of Joseph Kony." As always, if you have questions, comments, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email, talk@npr.org. If you're on Twitter, you can also follow us there at TOTN. Talk of the Nation is produced by Peter Granitz, John Asante, Tinbeat Armias, Wilma Consul, Priska Neely, and Sarah Handel. Sarah also handles our web content. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Balanle Omishore is our intern. Gwen Newton is our director. Sean Phillips is our technical director. He gets engineering help from Michael Cullen, Gary Tennant, and Cal Southworth. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. The supervising senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. Tomorrow, political junkie Ken Rudin will be here. Join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden in Washington.